And a couple weeks ago, we started a series called Leaving a Legacy. Here's what I wrote about where we want to go. Everyone wants to make a difference with their life. We strive to find purpose. We long for meaning. We develop goals and plans and to-do lists, then work hard to bring it to pass. We all want to accomplish something important, to live a life that matters. Every day, our lifestyle demonstrates our values and determines what we will hand down to those who follow us. So we're going to be talking about, again, this week, leaving a legacy. And the question is, what are you leaving behind? We're so glad that you've joined us today, and we want to ask for God's guidance, His direction, His empowerment, as we listen to what He has for each one of our hearts. So let's bow in prayer, and we'll ask for His direction. Dear God, You said that Your house is to be a house of prayer. And may the Choice family demonstrate that, whether it be during our time of worship of music or this time of worship where we look into Your Word to learn more about You. God, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of Your law. May Your Holy Spirit guide us into truth. And Lord, help us to live it out in our life. May we add to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. Lord, may we be more loving because we've been here this morning. Thank You for the decisions that are being made and at Choice. Thank You for what You're going to do right now. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been talking about, for a couple weeks, leaving a legacy, and we're asking ourselves this question: what are you leaving behind? It's not what will I leave behind, because somewhere down the road we're going to be talking about those things, but what are we personally leaving behind in our own life? Now, as we think of this aspect, Pastor Jeff and Melissa, let me just have you come up here for 1 second. I know you don't want to come up here. I'm surprising you for a second, and if we can even pull this mic up for these guys. So I'm throwing them all off. I messed Jeremy up this morning. I'm doing this, so they're running around here. But here's the question: what are we leaving behind? We got to plug something in. All right, raising it up for these people. We had our kids up here, so great. All right. Koji just wanted to be up front, and so we want to give him a hand. All right, on the drums today. All right, thank you, Koji. I was thinking about this question this week: what are you leaving behind? Last year, our theme was Choices Leaving the Building, and what are you leaving behind? And you guys are leaving us behind soon, I think, right? So tell us a little bit what's going on here. And Pastor Jeff, go ahead and tell us the big news, in case some may not know about it. And then any information that can just help us to pray for you guys, all right? This is off the cuff, so he probably hasn't been thinking much about this the last couple weeks. But go ahead. What's going on here? All right.
Thank you all so much. It's so good to see you all today. And Lord, just been blessing our hearts just to be back with you. We've been gone for a couple of weeks. We spent a few weeks down in Lafayette, Louisiana, going to the final stages of visiting with the Open Door Church down there and getting to know them and going to their community groups. And through the process, the final time we spent down there was last Tuesday. And on Wednesday, they had their church meeting, and they unanimously voted me to be their pastor. Saw His hand through the entire process and started all with you. So we just wanted to thank you for the tremendous love and support and just feeling just a blessing that you could not even imagine 7 years ago. So we're so thankful. Appreciate you.
And right before, I'm going to have you tell us any prayer requests, but here's Pastor Sam, who started the Open Door Church about 26 years ago, said this about the Williams family: I do not know that you could find a guy I would rather see take my place. This man is solid. I think he is all the things we need without losing the things that we have. Isn't that powerful? Boy, that's exciting. All right. All right. Congratulations, man.
Great. It's exciting.
Melissa, just how can we pray with you guys in this process? All right. I'm going to have you stand right here.
Definitely. This new transition is going to be a big thing. The church, Pastor Sam and his wife, Merida, are amazing people. So the impact, I think, of the transition really hit me when I met them, because they're losing some great people. So it's bittersweet, I think. We all said that. And then for us leaving here, it's definitely bittersweet. So prayers on both sides as we all transition. I have one teeny selfish one. They feed us a lot there. So we gain like 5 pounds each. If you pray that that's it, like we don't gain anything like that, but.
And just pray that God's will be done. And just continue to be faithful when it's called.
All right, great. Thank you, guys. Thank you. God bless you. Well, we're going to have a celebration in a couple weeks before they go, and so we'll be getting you some more information on that. But I read this one day. Every pastor is an interim pastor. An interim pastor is the one that kind of takes over for a short while before the next guy comes in place. And I read that every pastor is an interim pastor. The idea that, you know what, we're all going to leave one day. We either leave through retirement, we leave for health issues, we leave because you got tired of my jokes or something, you know, along those lines. One day I'm going to be out of here, and what is it that we're leaving behind? And boy, I don't know, how many years you guys been around? 7 years? And just think about the love, the hugs. Some of you guys have become better huggers because of the Williams family, right? And not that deflection that, you know, we've learned about that Heisman, right? So, Wayne. And but just think of all that they have brought into our church and those dynamics, and as we move ahead from here, that's leaving a legacy. And this year, several big things we're wanting to do. We want to strengthen our welcome ministry. We want to add to our Awana, pouring into our children on Wednesday nights, and add to our children's church team. So this week, the three big prayer requests that I've had, many areas of ministry we want to grow in, but children's church and Awana, as we think of the education team, just pray, how can I personally get involved in ministering in our nursery, our preschool, our elementary, our teens, our young adults, our senior adults, education ministry? That's why we're here, isn't it? To teach people that Jesus loves them, and once we've accepted Christ, to teach us what he says about us living the right kind of life. And so us leaving a legacy. What are we leaving behind? Even last week we talked about leaving a family legacy. I got a couple of statements as we think about what we're leaving behind. You've probably heard some of these. Do what I say, not what I do, right? You've heard that kind of statement before. A parent smoking a cigarette and said, now I never want to see a cigarette in your mouth. You know, that's do what I say, not what I do. They get mad and say some certain four-letter words, but they say, do what I say and not what I do. Where'd you learn that kind of talk anyway? Maybe they, I just heard, just thought about it. Somebody played me a country song that talked about that idea. We'll have to play that country song. We had a country song today. Where's Ted? Ted, you over here? Okay, man, that was really, my wife said, what is that? I said, that's Ted making that noise. And I wasn't sure I liked it or not, you know, but it didn't use him. But it really brought back my country heritage. Last Sunday, I was listening to Stained Glass Bluegrass. This week, that's what I'm going to remember from the service here. So I hope you come back next week, Ted. I really do, after I called you out. Some people don't want to be called out. But, you know, what is it that you do that you have said, do what I say, not what I do? Maybe on the job, you're the boss, and you've feel like you can do different. This year, I've told all our ministry leaders as I've met with them, this year is a new year. Every ministry leader is going to use our behind-the-scenes computer programs. One is called Planning Center Online. And I said, we are all, if you're going to be a ministry leader, and so that begins the first Sunday of March, we are using Planning Center Online. And so in one of our staff meetings, we were talking about it, and I sent an email out, and Ryan said, well, Tim, aren't you supposed to be using Planning Center online? And I'm like, I don't know how to use Plan. Okay, I got to use Planning Center as well, all right? So, you know, I don't want to be like that. Do what I say, not what I do. What we're talking about, example today. How can we be the right example? Someone has once said, what you do speaks so loud that I cannot hear what you're saying. We know the phrase, actions speak louder than words. Or a business model and church model says this, is what's on the wall going on down the hall? Is what we say is the priority of a business or church or family? What we say on the wall, the priority or the vision statement, our mission going on down the hall? Is what we say is important actually going on? And how do you tell? It's where do you put your time and where do you put your money? If you say certain things are important on the job, let me ask you, what's on the budget and what's on the to-do list, on the calendar, on the schedules? That really shows what's important. If you say, boy, this is important to me, let me see how you prioritize that in your schedule, how you prioritize that with the way you spend your money. Is what's on the wall going on down the hall? John said it this way in 1 John. He said, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. He's saying, don't just say that you love. I want you to demonstrate your love. Is my walk and my talk consistent? In Deuteronomy 6, this is a passage for parents. Verse 6 says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart. Before we ever deal with parenting issues, it really starts with your heart. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, can you talk to my child? You know, they're dealing with these issues. And I said, hey, before we do that, can we talk? Because the reality is, the first issue is the parents. I'm not saying if a child has an issue, it's a parent's fault at all. But I am saying that's the first place for us to look. Whenever you're frustrated with your kids and you don't like the direction that your kids are going in or some of the attitudes that they're possessing, first look at your own heart. What's going on in your heart? So he said the first thing as we talk about parenting, make sure it's in your heart. And then verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when you're sitting in your house and when you're walking by the way and when you're lying down and when you're rising up. He's saying here, I want you to teach. I want you to talk about it, but I also want to make sure that you're walking it. The talk and walk must be consistent. Not just when you're coming to church, but wherever you are, if you're sitting down or if you're getting up, if you're getting ready to go to work or you're coming home from work, if you've been battling traffic and your boss or your employees weren't that pleasant today, you come home, I still want you to have the right kind of attitude. It's got to be in your heart first, and if you are going to talk about it and teach about it diligently, make sure you're living it out in your own life as well. It's got to be going out from you if it's going to happen. We're talking about example. I remember when I first became an uncle, I liked what Don had to say. When I first became an uncle, my little nephew, Chris, and he was a cool little a guy, and he's moved away. I don't see him as much anymore. And I remember we were sitting watching TV. I was probably 17. And I was sitting there watching TV, and I had my leg crossed. And I look over at Chris, and he had his leg crossed exactly the way my leg was crossed. He was seated exactly like, I guess this is my assumption, he looked over and he knew Uncle Tim was a pretty cool guy and I want to be like him one day, you know, and so I love his humor and whatever. And so, you know, he looked over and he crossed his leg exactly and I thought, wow, that's influence. And it was influence when I wasn't even paying attention. It was just when I'm sitting down or when I'm getting up, right? That's influence. I have a beautiful granddaughter, she's one. And she sees me working out sometimes, and not long ago, I was looking at her, and she was down, and if you know what an upward or downward dog is, you put your hands down. I'm not going to do it, but I had your hands down, And sometimes, you know, you lift one of the legs up, and then you're doing a star, and you're doing all kinds of different moves like this, trying to stretch and different things. And so I'm looking at her, and I'm like, it looks like she's doing my workouts. And I thought, it can't be. I mean, she's just 1 year old. But then when I would start working out, she would come down, and she's like right beside me, and she's doing the exercises, and she's jumping around, running around, and doing that. And it was like, wow, why does she do that? Because example is a great teacher, isn't it? The things we do in our life, that's why it's got to be in our heart. And before we start teaching it with our mouth, we got to teach it with our hands and our feet. Our example is so vital. Pastor Ryan has said you got to lead yourself before you can lead others, or before you can lead ministries, or before you can lead leaders. That's what development is about. In marriage counseling, a couple comes in and they're pointing at the other person. They need to make this change. And before I'm going to know, it starts with you. It has to be our personal character in our life. It's got to be in our heart first. That's how the process begins. A few weeks ago, I said we start with the end in mind. That's our vision. We need to know where we're going. Where are we going personally? Single people, before you can take that person that you're going to marry one day and move along, you got to know where you're heading. You got to be prepared. Can you provide? Can you protect? Can you be that person that God wants you to be? It's got to be in your heart. Where are you going? And then secondly, we need to understand the process, knowing how to get there. And when it comes to leaving a legacy, there's no shortcuts. You see, what we do behind the scenes is just as important than what we do up front. That consistency in our daily life. There was a famous pastor years ago, and his adult children were being interviewed. And the question was asked, what's the greatest sermon that your dad had ever preached? And they said, well, that's easy. It was his life. It was the way he lived in private, not just what he did up on the stage. It was his life. Our church is called Choice Baptist. And we think of Joshua 24:15 when we look at that verse. And it concludes this way. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, it starts with me. Before I can worry about my house, I've got to worry about myself personally. And so if my kids are dealing with an issue, I better look back home first. I need to take some time and meditate and look in the mirror. If I'm not happy with something that's going on in another relationship that I have, I don't just blame somebody else. I look back to myself. As for me. And this passage, notice how it begins. It's really interesting. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You made a choice this morning. You got up to church. You made that choice. Tomorrow morning, you got to make a choice. Am I going to read my Bible? Am I going to spend time in prayer? Am I going to be so rushed that I'm, you know, getting up and taking the kids to school and running to work, and I'm so stressed out, and I'm dealing with issues, and I really haven't rested in God and trusting in Him? See, it's a daily decision that I've got to make. Not just do I look good from the outside, but every moment of my life. And for us to do this, we've got to ask ourselves the question, what are we leaving behind? Jesus understood this process. In Mark chapter 3, Mark talks about Jesus and his ministry, and it just kind of jumps in immediately to him as an adult. And when we get to chapter 3, he goes up into a mountain and he's praying about who are going to be my disciples. Who are those individuals that I'm going to place around me and pour my life into for the next 3 years? And in Mark chapter 3, we see how Jesus leaves a legacy by calling his disciples. Look at verse 13. I have these on the screen behind me. And he goeth up into a mountain, and he calleth unto him whom he would. The first thing that Jesus did in getting his disciples, he had a personal relationship with them. He's asking God, God, can you provide workers? God, can you give me the people that we need? Because one day Jesus understood he was going to leave. He was going to be gone. He wasn't going to be there forever. He knew that he was going to die and he was going to leave these disciples behind. And so he starts praying. And it, God, who is it that you want me to personally ask to be involved in this? It didn't just happen generically. Jesus preached to multitudes, but he called these leaders in personally, the people he wanted around him. And in verse 14 says, and he ordained 12 that they should be, what are the next two words? With him. That's really where leadership comes into play. Who is it that's going to be walking with me? One great leader said, if you're leading and nobody's following, you're just taking a walk. And the question was that, how do you know if you're leading? Look behind you. Is anybody following? Who am I influencing in my daily life? And we're all influencing somebody, but who am I positively influencing? What are we leaving behind? He said, I am ordaining the 12. I'm calling them to myself, and I want them to spend time with me. Now, this is more difficult to those that are introverts. Now, Don Bailey's in here. You realize he's a severe introvert, right? He has trouble talking to people and is not as outgoing. But, I mean, he is super extroverted, right? I mean, he is the guy that has no problem talking to anybody. But some of you aren't that way. I mean, you like your private world. You know, you can kind of come in and leave. But if you're going to make an impact on people, you have to kind of break out of that and spend time with people. Even in your own home, you know, we can get so busy. We're looking at the cell phone. We're on the computer. We're busy. We bring work home or we're watching television shows. You know, you got to keep up on whatever your Netflix program is or those kind of things. You can be so busy, even at home, that you're not investing in your spouse and your kids and to the people around you. Jesus spent time with them. Who is it that I can be a positive influence on? Who can I invest in? Jesus was looking for that group of people, and then he decided to spend time with them. And notice how he concludes, that he might send them forth to preach. They're not going to be there forever. Those beautiful children that were here, they're going to grow up in a few years. I was at a funeral yesterday, and the church I grew up in, so I saw a lot of people that I'd known for many years, and the pastor even went up there, and he was like, some of you have gotten old up here. You know, he was telling them how old. The reality is there were people that were kids in the church, and now I come back, and they have kids in the church. You know, things just change, right? Kids grow up. Here's the question. One day we are going to send our kids out. One day our teens are going to grow up, and they're going to go out and make decisions. They're going to be running our country, right? The question is, what are we leaving behind? And it's the way we spend time with them, whether you're parent or grandparent, pouring your life into them. And some of that can happen from a distance and stuff, but the reality, most of it happens with one-on-one contact, those personal relationships. Jesus knew he was going to leave. He was going to send them out one day. And so he invested in them for 3 years. They watched him do miracles. They saw how he dealt with his enemy. They saw his schedule, the way he got up and spent time in prayer and time with God and time with people and how he invested in the lives, how he dealt with distractions when he was busy. And he said, guys, we need to go rest. And then somebody came up and they had a need and he cared for them and he was a servant leader. And they watched him for 3 years and then he was gone. But you know what Jesus left behind? He left behind the church so we could still have it today. Why did that happen? Because he invested in these people. He called them that they would be with him so he could send them out. That's why last year we talked about Choice leaving the building. And I hope Pastor Jeff feels like we have invested in him just like he has in us for the past 7 years. Really, when somebody joins the church, here's my prayer for them. That Choice would be a blessing to them and they would be a blessing to Choice. And I hope over the next couple weeks, as We see a transition of the Williams family that you just think, whether it be their kids or Melissa or Pastor Jeff, just think about that. What are they leaving behind here? I mean, why is Choice a better place? And let them know it. And show that appreciation about the work that God has done in your life through them. Jesus knew he was going to leave. He was going to be sending them out. And so he says this in Matthew 4. When he called them, he said, "Follow me and I will make you." He said, "I'm going to develop you, right? I'm going to make you fishers of men." But it starts with following me. And the word follow is very interesting. The word follow means look at my example and do what I do. That's what the word follow means. Jesus understood that. The Apostle Paul also understood that. In our text in 2 Timothy, when we're going to look at it in a minute, Paul was the one talking to Timothy. And in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, he says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." He didn't say, "Don't look at me, I'm not Jesus, just keep your eyes on Jesus." He didn't say that at all. He said, "Follow me, look at my example, do what I do." I know sometimes when people preach, if they will say something like this, "Dear God, hide me behind the cross. God, help them not to look to me, but to look to you." And it really frustrates me because I think that's why we're here, for people to look at us. That's why we have flesh and blood here. That's why Jesus physically came to the earth. John said this, that "I have observed him. I've seen him with my eyes. I have touched him with my hands. I have experienced him physically." And God has left us behind. That's why we're not in heaven right now, because he wants us to follow Christ, and he wants us to be the example so people can see. Now, have I always been the right example to my kids? Certainly not. Have I always been the right example as a pastor? Have I made bad choices? Certainly I have. In the community, have I made mistakes? Finances, maybe. You know, we've all have plenty of mistakes, and we understand it. And thank God for God's grace. But it's not an excuse for not striving for excellence. And so Paul said, "Follow me as I follow after Christ." Let's not ignore the importance of our influence. The way we relate to our spouse, the way we relate to our parents, the way we relate to our children, the way we relate to our grandchildren, our boss, our co-workers, our next-door neighbor, whoever it may be. God wants us to be an example. Follow me as I follow Christ. Look at my example. None of us are perfect, but we're to be pursuing after excellence. So if your Bibles are open, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 for just a minute. This is our theme verse for the year. And it simply says this, "And the things that thou hast heard of me," so the "me" is the Apostle Paul, the "you" or the "thou" there is Timothy, who's the pastor at the church at Ephesus. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So here we have the Apostle Paul. God, by special revelation, because he was an apostle, poured truth into the Apostle Paul. He told him things that hadn't been told by anyone else, and so he wrote most of the New Testament. God had given this revelation, and under inspiration was writing the Word of God and pouring his life into the next generation, who was Timothy. Timothy was the pastor. We looked at his life, and we'll look more into his life over the next couple weeks as well. And so Timothy was a young man that had been under the ministry of Paul while he was on his missionary journeys. And now Timothy, after a certain period of time, was left behind. And Paul said, "I want to come visit you, but I can't come right now." He said in 1 Timothy. Now in 2 Timothy, he said, "I'm in prison. I'm expecting to be dead in a short manner of time. I'm not going to be able to come and see you." So he wrote 2 Timothy to say, "Timothy, I've got some truths that I really want you to grasp. I want you to understand, because I'm going to be gone shortly, and you need to take these truths, and I want you to take these truths to a certain group of people." Do you know who that group is? To faithful men who will be able to teach others also. From Paul to Timothy to the faithful, to others. The word faithful there is an interesting word. It means reliable, dependable, trustworthy. He said, I want these faithful people to be able to pour into the others. Paul probably had no idea who the others were. He may not even have known who the faithful people were, but he said, I want these faithful people to be reliable. There's a proverb that talks about unreliable people. And it says, an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Have you ever sprained your ankle and you start walking and you can't really put anything on it? And you're having a limp. Or you bite down on something and you have a tooth where you need to go to the dentist. You put pressure on that. You put your confidence in it, but it's not working properly. That's a big deal, isn't it? Dependability. One of the greatest abilities we can have is dependability. We may not have a lot of skills and talents, intelligence, but we can be dependable. We can just live out what we say we're going to do. We've got to be faithful, and it's the whole idea of us being the right kind of example. That's why we ask our leaders, you know, to follow high expectations in their personal life. I remember I was talking to someone before the service about my Sunday school teachers. I remember those people that invested in me as a little child. My sister and my dad and I went to this funeral yesterday, and so we were walking around looking at this building where we grew up, from the nursery to preschool to elementary, the teen group, and then as adults, and just thinking about those people that taught us, that invested in our life. Man, I looked at these people. I mentioned Mrs. Murray the other week, and Vivian Wood was the pastor's sister, and she led children's church and poured into us, and I would ask her Bible questions, and she knew everything about the Bible, and I just loved her, and she loved me, and she poured the Word of God into me, and I'm where I am today, not just because of my parents, but because of Sunday school teachers and children's church teachers and people that poured into me. And you know what they were? I mean, they were far from perfect, but they were faithful. And Paul said, Timothy, I want you to invest in faithful men. I want you to pour your life into people that are going to have the right kind of example. Sometimes I do wonder, when Christians post certain things on Facebook, I'm thinking, are we not realizing the influence that we are? I mean, it's not always a positive influence that we project on there. And maybe I'm wrong. You know, the young guys tell me, oh, Pat, you just need to share your feelings on Facebook. That's what it's there for. You know, tell them you're having a problem day and stuff. And I'm like, I just don't really care to complain in public that much. You know, it doesn't seem to be the best. Oh, yeah, you just got to share your feelings. You know, life sucks today or whatever on there. I'm like, really? And I'm not saying try to project a face that's not consistent with where we are, but I just think, let's look at our life. And are we demonstrating faithfulness so we can pour into the next generation? What does your home life look like? You know, you get out of the car and you've been arguing in the vehicle, the kids hear that, and you, hey, how you doing? Great, brother. Good to see you. God bless you. And your kids are looking like, is that the same person I was just talking to? Is that the person, once we get home, they turn the TV on, they're not talking to us anymore, they're just kind of zoned out in their own world, they go to their own room doing their own thing, or maybe they're fussing and hollering and impatient toward us? See, faithfulness in our daily life. Faithfulness. Coming to church. You know, our kids shouldn't have to ask, are we going to church Sunday? We should just be faithful. My dad has a ninth grade education. I mean, he wasn't a great reader growing up, but most nights when my dad would go to bed, or I should say when I would go to bed, I would look in and my dad would have his Bible open and he just fell asleep reading his Bible. I remember times he had fallen asleep and I knew what word he had finished on because his finger was still on that sometimes. I remember at times, it didn't happen every night, but at times I'd go and I'd kneel by his bed when he would go to bed, and we would just pray. And my dad is far from a perfect man. But my dad's been faithful. And just think of the example that you have toward your kids, toward the kids of our church. Maybe you're overseeing a sports team and you're investing in their life. Just think about, what's my example? Do I demonstrate faithfulness? That's what God wants. And the things that thou hast heard of me, Timothy, I want you to commit those things to faithful men, reliable people that you can put your faith in and trust in, people that you can share and be real with, and they're going to pray for you, and they're not going to talk about you, people that come along beside of you and demonstrate the right kind of example. See, what am I leaving behind? I'm leaving behind exactly what I do in my priorities, my values, the way I live, the way I spend my money, and the way I spend my time. I'm so excited that today Jamie's following the Lord in baptism. What is baptism? It's a public example, a public declaration that I have accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I want to demonstrate that I want to walk in a new life. That's what baptism is about. I hope you'll join us in a few minutes. We'll walk out of this building, go down to this hallway, what we call the chapel, and we have the opportunity to see somebody do exactly what Jesus did, to be baptized. Let me just close with this thought here. When I teach one of the classes, we call it Discovering Choice or Discovering Your Ministry, I normally ask this question. Tell me about someone that has influenced your life in a great way. This past time, I was kind of surprised because a couple people said books, podcasts, you know, certain public speakers and stuff. And it really surprised me because two people in the class said that. But almost always, when I ask that question, who is it that has greatly influenced you? What do you think the answers are? Just give me a couple. Parents, grandparents, what else? Teachers. Coaches. I was going to say, Jim, you better give us that one, right? Coaches. Yeah, coach. You know what? It's people that are willing to come along beside us and personally invest their time in us, whether it be one-on-one or in a small group, and they just demonstrate that they care about us. Maybe they're the hardest people on us, but we accepted it because we knew they loved us. We knew that they wanted the best for us. It's people that came along beside of us. They walked along with us. They cared and they shared. They walked and they talked. We trusted them and they believed in us. And you are who you are today because of those people that have invested in you, those faithful people. So here's the question. What are you leaving behind? What are you leaving behind in your children and grandchildren? What are you leaving behind on the basketball court after upwards? What are you leaving behind when you walk out of here on Sunday, and the way you've poured in the life of somebody? What are you leaving behind on the job? What are you leaving behind in the community? It really depends about the people that we have around us and the example that we have set. So for just a minute, let's bow our heads. And I want you to just think about, who is it that you can be a positive influence as we move into 2019. As we let God do a work in our families, in our church, our community around us, let's not get so caught up with what we are doing that we fail to invest in others, and let's not focus so much on others that we don't focus on our right example. Who can you invest in 2019? Who are you influencing and how are you influencing them? Let's be those faithful men who can teach others also. Ted, was that you? You got mad at me? And okay, all right, just somebody, okay. If you want to hear a noise, I'm going to give you a noise this time, right? Yeah. He's influencing us, right? Just ask God, who can I be a positive influence upon? And friend, if you're here today, there's never been that time in your life that you accepted Jesus as your Savior. You are not certain that when you die that you'll go to heaven. See, it's not the baptismal waters. That doesn't get anybody to heaven. It's not by coming to church. It's by understanding that Jesus died for our sins. And that our sinfulness will keep us out of heaven, but only Jesus. He is the only way to heaven. And calling upon Him, asking Him to forgive your sins and to give you the gift of eternal life. Will you make that decision? Dear Father, please bless this invitation. May you do a work in our midst. In Jesus' name.